Luke chapter 9, and we begin in verse 10 this morning. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so that they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." He replied, "You give them something to eat." They answered, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd." About 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." And the disciples did so, and everybody sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Amen. This is God's word. Let's pray. Loving God, as we come to words which so many of us are so familiar with, we pray that you would help us still to pause, still to listen to that still small voice of yours. We pray that you would encourage our hearts this morning. We pray that you would remind us of truths of old, and indeed that you might teach us things anew in the midst. And Lord, we pray that this might be all for our good and for your glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if you've ever been in one of those situations where you've been trained up, you know what you're doing, and then somehow you freeze and you forget. I shared last week about moving to the bank's training department and being trained up to so that I could train people to use the new automatic teller cash dispensers that we had. I learned the ropes. I watched somebody else deliver the course. Then I took over the course myself, and I'd done it week in, week out for quite a few weeks. And then came that one embarrassing day when I couldn't get something to work. And I panicked. And I forgot the basics. I forgot what I had been taught. I forgot what I was doing. And it's like, what do I do? And so I ran out the room. And I went to one of my colleagues and said, "Listen, I've broken something. It's not working. How are you gonna deliver this course?" And they came in and they took a quick look at it. And then they pressed the on switch. Told you it was embarrassing. We forget the very basic things sometimes in life, don't we? And how often do we do that in the Christian life? What are some of the basic lessons that Christians sometimes forget to remember? Let me give you a list. We forget to study the Bible and remembering that God's word gives us life. We forget the power of prayer, not remembering that God's blessing is ours for the asking. We forget that we cannot make it on our own, forgetting, not remembering, our deep dependency on the Holy Spirit. We forget that we don't have to work our way into heaven, not remembering that God has accepted us in Christ. We forget how much God loves us, not remembering that he has called us his sons and his daughters. We forget that our Father knows best, not remembering to trust his sovereign plan for our lives. And we forget that God will provide, not remembering his promise to give us our daily bread. We so often forget the basics. We so often forget that Jesus is more than enough. And that's a basic truth that the disciples have been learning about for some months now. Jesus is more than enough. Jesus is all they need. And last week we thought how Jesus trained the 12 up for a specific task. He called them. He equipped them. And then he sent them out with a message. And he sent them out in faith. And they completed their task. And news of what was going on had reached Herod, remember, who was confused and who asked lots of questions. And then as the disciples came back, they reported to Jesus all that they had done. And yet in the passage that unfolds before us, it appears that they forget the basics. They forget Jesus is more than enough. And so he's got to show them all over again. Jesus is continuing the training of those 12 here. And as he does that, he appears to test them. And they fall down because they forget the basics. He reminds them again, though, of his goodness and of his grace. They are reminded that Jesus is more than enough. He's more than enough. And that starts this morning as we see the need for rest. And Jesus is able to provide that rest. Verse 10, when the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. We remember the disciples being sent out by Jesus to teach and to heal. And after some time, they come back to report all that they have seen, all that they have done, and all that they have experienced. They summarize their work to Jesus. And Jesus is interested in all that they do, and he's interested in all that we do. The hymn writer was spot on when he said, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." Jesus is interested in everything about us. We can carry it to him in prayer. We can talk to him about it. Jesus longs for us to spend time in his presence. And then says that Jesus took them away and that they withdrew by themselves. Jesus knew that they needed time alone. They've been away working hard, going from village to village for some time. They've been amongst people, going from one people group to another people group. And it doesn't tell us how long they did that for. It may have been days, it may have been weeks. But they've been preaching the gospel. And let me tell you, preaching is a tiring task. You wonder why some people say the pastor only works on a Sunday. It's because it takes them the rest of the week to recover from a Sunday. But, joking aside, just so you make sure you get that point. Joking aside, Sunday is a tiring day. Preaching, giving your all for God and the teaching of his word takes a lot out of you. Sunday is the most tiring day of the week for me. On top of that, these disciples have been healing people as well. They will be tired and weary. They'll be worn out and they will be in need of rest. Rest. Mrs. Letty Cowman was a missionary. She wrote a wonderful book. It's a devotional book called Springs in the Valley. And let me just read one extract to you this morning. She says, "In the deep jungles of Africa, a traveler was making a long trek. Coolies had been engaged from a tribe to carry the loads. The first day they marched rapidly and they went far. The traveler had high hopes of a speedy journey. But the second morning, these jungle tribesmen refused to move. For some strange reason, they just sat and rested. On inquiry as to the reason for this strange behavior, the traveler was informed that they had gone too fast the first day and that they were now waiting for their souls to catch up with their bodies." Mrs. Cowman concludes with this penetrating exhortation for us. This whirling rush, rushing life which so many of us live does for us what the first march did for those poor jungle tribesmen. The difference: they knew what they needed to do to restore life's balance. Too often we do not. They knew they needed to rest. Jesus knew his disciples needed to rest. And I want to tell you something. You're thinking to yourself, that lady must have written that book just recently because of the whirling, rushing life that we have where we cram so much in and we do so many things and we forget to rest. Listen, she wrote that book nearly 80 years ago. Jesus knew the disciples needed the rest. So he takes them and they withdraw to a town on their own. Jesus experienced tiredness himself. We've seen that through the Gospels. Just in the last chapter, as we looked at the four miracles that Jesus performed, showing his power over nature and demons and disease and death, we see him lie down in a boat and sleep. No bed, just a boat that's being tossed about back and forth on the wind and the waves. He knew what it was to be worn out. He knew what it was to be spent, to be exhausted, to be wearied. And so the words of Hebrews encourage us that he is a high priest who is able to understand our weaknesses and our infirmities. He understands well that we need to rest. And the psalmist spoke of that. This is nothing new. The psalmist spoke of that. He spoke of the Lord's provision for us in that great Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He does what? He restores my soul. There is a real picture there of the Lord taking us away from the busyness of life and allowing us to be rested and refreshed and restored. Jesus is more than enough. And he invites us to rest. He knows the need for rest. And he encourages us to take time out to be rested and refreshed and restored. Friend, do you need rest today? Do you allow yourself sufficient time to rest in your busy daily lives? And when you're resting, are you resting in the Lord? It's important to stop and to be refreshed at various points in our life. That's the very reason, by the way, way back at the very, very, very beginning, you might think this is something that's been taught later on in the Old Testament, taught in the New Testament, something we are teaching today. But listen, God taught it right at the very start in creation. 6 days God worked. And what did he do on the seventh day? He rested. If God needs to rest, then friends, listen, we are nowhere near God. We need to rest. God provides rest. Take it and use it wisely. But it's not long in this incident here until the crowds realize where Jesus is and they come and they gather round. And here we find the need for repentance and restoration. Not only do we need to rest, but we actually need to know and experience spiritual and physical healing. Jesus taught this crowd about the kingdom of God. The very thing that the disciples were sent out to do, Jesus himself carries on doing here. Back in verse 2 last week, we read that he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Here in verse 11, he welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. He welcomed them. That's a good point to stop. He welcomed them. I need to learn that lesson. I need to keep learning that lesson. Do you? He welcomed them. Jesus welcomed them. Remember what he's doing. He is taking his disciples away on their own for a spell. Mark tells us in his parallel account in Mark 6:31, he says to his disciples, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. They must have been exhausted, as we thought. What they needed most, what we always need the most after a busy time in life and in ministry, is time away with Jesus, time on our own with Jesus. And here comes the crowd again to interrupt them, to disturb them, to press in on them. The hordes of people that were following Jesus were invading his privacy and they were disturbing his rest. Most people, I think, maybe it's just me here, actually, I'll put my hand up and confess it, but most people, I think, here would have been tempted to ignore that crowd. They might have been tempted to tell them to come back later on, or actually just to send them away altogether and say, I can't be bothered with you. But Jesus welcomes all comers, and he always did. He was willing to be interrupted and inconvenienced as long as he had the opportunity to preach the kingdom of God and to perform miracles amongst them. And so Jesus shows us here that he is always ready to welcome us. He's always ready to welcome us. He's always ready to hear our cries for help. He's always ready to get involved, and he is always with us. Jesus is more than enough. Yet he also shows us, he also teaches us, and this is more training for the 12 here, by the way, that even when we are weary and tired, even when we're wanting to take a break from other people and their problems, we still need to be ready to give them the gospel and to help them in any practical way that we can. Jesus speaks to the crowd about the kingdom of God. He is preaching the gospel to them. That is his key theme always. Remember his manifesto speech in Luke chapter 4 where he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Later in Luke chapter 4, he says, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because that is why I was sent. In Mark chapter 1, verse 15, as he began his ministry, he proclaimed, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Jesus urgently yet carefully and clearly speaks the truth and points people back to God. He's keen that they understand the need to repent and turn back to God. And friends, we are called to be his witnesses, to make disciples, to go and preach the good news. And that's not just to be done in the days when we feel like it. It's not just to be done on a Sunday morning when I feel like standing up in church in front of you guys. Although maybe there's some Sunday mornings where I don't feel like that, but I have to do it anyway. And we do. And when the opportunities present themselves day by day, as we work, as we play, as we rest, as we're out with people, as the opportunities present themselves to us, we are to share the kingdom of God. We are to be sharing the gospel and calling people to repentance and faith. And Jesus is more than enough for us in those moments. He enables, he equips, he energizes, he excites us to do that. Jesus also heals them that day. This is about repentance and restoration spiritually, but he also deals with restoration physically and mentally and emotionally. Look there at verse 11 again. It says that he healed those who needed healing. Jesus was always ready to receive people in need, and when he received them, he was always there prepared to help them. Luke tells us that Jesus cured anyone and everyone who needed healing that day. There wasn't a single case he could not resolve. And that is a powerful testimony of his grace. There is hope for everyone in Jesus because he is able to save anyone who comes to him for help. This is true for us spiritually as it was for the crowds medically. By the power of his grace, Jesus is able to forgive our sins. He's able to renew our spirits. He's able to comfort our sorrows. He is able to touch the wounded places in our hearts and make us whole. Friend, what is the need in your life today? Can I ask you to come to Jesus for restoration? Maybe even in repentance. Jesus is more than enough. He will accept you and forgive you, restore you and reconcile you. He can heal you as well, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And we need to remember, of course, that some of that healing will only come when we lay down these earthly bodies and we take on our new heavenly bodies. But you can come to Jesus today. What is the need in your life? Jesus is more than enough. There's one other key need that is met in Jesus, the need for refreshment. He provides sustenance for body as well as for soul. And we often jump right here into this wonderful miracle that many of us have known from our Sunday school days. But I wanted to take the time to set the context for us and to pick up those other important bits that Jesus was doing in the training of the disciples and therefore our training as well. We now get to the stage, of course, that the day is marching on and it's quickly passing by. And Jesus recognizes a need in the crowd and he sets a test for the disciples. He is still training them. And I love that, by the way, for he is always still training us. I am still learning more and more about him and about serving him and about honoring him and about living for him as I go through each and every day in life. I still enter into pastoral situations and I'm suddenly hit with something that I wasn't expecting in that moment, or maybe something that is new to me that I've never encountered before, and I have to admit there's a panic inside in those moments. Well, what am I going to do? How am I going to do it? What? And you know what I do if I remember? Most of the time I manage to remember. Do you know what I do if I remember? I stop, I breathe, and I pray. And I ask God to come into that situation with me, to give me wisdom and to guide me and to help me pour out his grace into that situation. And listen, he is always there. And he always camps. And he always helps. the disciples were about to discover his amazing provision all over again. Verse 12, late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." Time's marched on, the disciples are hungry, they suspect the people will be too. They've come to remind Jesus, to tell him of this, as if he didn't know already, by the way. Isn't that an incredible thing? We come to Jesus to tell him something as if he doesn't know. He knows everything, by the way. The psalmist says, "Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord." He knows, but still they come to Jesus as if he doesn't know. And they remind Jesus that this is a remote place that they are in, and that he should send the people away so they can go to the surrounding towns and villages and get some food and some shelter. The people had arrived needy. Many were sick, deaf, blind, lame, wanting to be healed. They had heard about Jesus, the healer, and they had come to him. And as the day progressed, they were needy. They became hungry. They wanted food. Whether anyone recognized it or not, each person's greatest need wasn't for food, wasn't for those that physical healing. It was for spiritual healing. Jesus could heal their bodies. He could fill their stomachs. But that was only a stopgap measure if they perished in their sins. So it says that Jesus taught them about the kingdom of God. He taught them how they could rightly be related to him. Often the problems that people encounter, the problems that they present with, can be the entry point for us to minister to them, not only physically and emotionally, but also spiritually, which is their greatest need. We are surrounded by needy people. Jesus will provide for this crowd. But as he does, he is going to use it as another teaching moment for his disciples. This is on-the-job training at its very best. He's going to show them that if they are willing to be his servants, he will take what they have and he will use it for his glory, achieving great things in the process. He's going to provide food for all those people, 5,000 men, women, and children besides that. Jesus welcomed the crowds and he spoke to them. The disciples wanted to send them away. Isn't that interesting contrast? Jesus welcomes the crowds to begin with. Later in the day, the disciples say, "Send them away. Get rid of them." Jesus welcomes people all of the time. These disciples, we probably need to understand from their viewpoint, don't we? They've been out and they've been busy. They've been going from town to town. They're tired and they're weary and they want some time with Jesus on their own. And then this crowd has come and Jesus has taught them and spent time with them. And they're probably needing fed and they're probably fed up by this stage. The disciples have had enough, but not Jesus. Jesus tells the disciples in verse 13, he replied, "You give them something to eat." And I can almost hear the response there. Pardon? Seriously? What? Us? Here? Now? Jesus could have fed them. He could have called down manna from heaven, just like God had done with Moses and the Israelites in the wilderness. He could have spoken a word and bread could have appeared on everybody's hands. He could have called the angels down to deliver bread to everyone seated there. Instead, Jesus calls the disciples and says, "What have you got? Let's take this and let's use this." Jesus used the disciples to distribute the bread and the fish to the people. And I'm convinced that Jesus did the miracle that way to teach the disciples that his method for meeting the needs of this lost world is through people. Christ meets the needs of people through people. But note carefully the kind of people that he uses there. They're inadequate. They're not up to the task, or so they think. Jesus uses tired, emotionally drained people. The disciples had just returned from the first preaching tour on their own. Jesus knew they were tired and they needed a rest, but that rest was short-lived. True, Jesus let them rest as he taught and as he dealt with the multitude, but still, they'd have been there trying to organize the crowd, trying to watch who was getting to Jesus, and they would be tired, and the emotional condition causes them to give that response of "send them away." He uses tired, emotionally drained people. He uses busy people. They didn't even have time to eat because of all the people coming and going. I thought that our hectic schedules were somehow unique to our culture, but they clearly aren't. Invariably, the Lord doesn't use people with extra time on their hands. Listen, I need to tell you, that's true. I've seen that in ministry. 20% of the people do 80% of the work. That is a sad reality of the Christian life, the sad reality of church life. It's busy people that God uses, and those that have loads of time on their hands, guess what? They just carry on having loads of time in their hands. Why? Because they're not always interested in serving God and the way that God would call them to serve. He uses people who are busy and he keeps them busy. I'm sure they didn't have time to eat until the entire crowd had been served. And listen, Jesus normally uses tired people, and he not only uses people who are drained, and he doesn't normally use busy people, but he uses people who lack the resources. The disciples didn't have enough bread to hand. They didn't even have the financial means to do anything about the situation in front of them. In Mark's gospel, they cry out that it would take 8 months' worth of wages to feed the crowd in front of them. They didn't have anything near that. Remember, they had just gone out with nothing. Took nothing with them but the clothes they were wearing as they went on that preaching tour. And obviously they wouldn't have cash to hand either. And listen, this was a desolate place. It's a remote place, it says. Even if they went to the towns around, there wouldn't be enough bread in those towns to do anything. They were ridiculously lacking in the resources they needed to meet Jesus' demand to feed the multitude, or so they thought. And some people say, listen, today, inadequate people, some people say, I'll serve God someday, but I'm too busy and I'm too stressed out to get involved right now. Or they think, I plan to give generously to the Lord's work after I get my finances in a better shape, but right now I can't afford to give much. Listen, I need to tell you, if you don't give to the Lord now when your finances are a mess, they're not going to get fixed, and you're still not going to be able to give to Him at any other point in time. And listen, there's never going to be a day when you're not too busy and you're not too stressed to get involved right now, because life is like that sometimes. These folks are making the mistake of thinking that serving God is something we volunteer to do when we have adequate time, when we have adequate energy, when we have the right financial resources, then we'll choose to serve God. But Jesus doesn't work through people like that. He works through his servants. Servants don't volunteer to serve, in a sense. Servants serve when they're tired, when they're emotionally drained, when they're busy, when they're lacking in adequate resources. Servants serve because they're living under obligation to their master. How do we do it? How do we do it then? By yielding our inadequacy to the master to use as he pleases. Look at what the disciples did here in verse 13. We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd. 5 small loaves, 2 fish, a little boy's lunch, if you read the parallel accounts in the other Gospels. And Matthew records Jesus as saying, bring them here to me. And friends, I need to tell you, that is the key. Bring them here to me. Give your inadequate resources and your inadequate abilities to Jesus, and the insufficient becomes more than sufficient when surrendered to Christ. Jesus is more than enough. And Jesus then gives them instructions to get them in groups, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he looked up to heaven and he gave thanks to God for his provision. And there's an important little aside there, by the way. He gave thanks to God for his provision. Do we give thanks to God for his provision in our lives, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, meal times? Let's make sure we keep giving thanks to God. Then he began to give it to the disciples to hand out. And that small resource was multiplied again and 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 again to feed that whole crowd. Verse 17, they all ate and were satisfied. It wasn't a case of they ate and it took the hunger pangs away for a minute or two. It wasn't a case of they went to McDonald's and it filled you up for 5 minutes. Maybe that's just me that goes to McDonald's and you eat a McDonald's and it fills you up for 5 minutes, and 10 minutes later you're needing something else to eat. Maybe I'm just fat, but we'll not go there. They ate and were satisfied. That means that they enjoyed. That means that they had their fill. They had all they needed in that moment. And listen, there's another important thing there. There were leftovers. There were leftovers. Incredible. Jesus fed 5,000, 5,000 plus umpteen other thousand others in the process, and he fed them all from what the disciples had, and then he provided for the disciples too. Do you see that? When it's all over, the disciples are sent out to clear up. They're still working. They're still being trained. They're still serving. And 12 disciples, 12 baskets of food filled up, one for each disciple. Do you see the lesson? It's a lesson in abundance. Jesus is not just sufficient for our needs. He is abundantly sufficient. The reason the disciples are assigned this clear-up duty is so that they will learn this lesson. They had wondered earlier where they'd get enough food to feed the multitude when there was barely enough there to feed themselves. And they may have thought, if we give to everyone else, then we will go hungry. But instead of going hungry, each disciple will end up with a load of food. The disciples were taught an incredible lesson, and that is the same lesson that we need to learn today. It is a lesson that Jesus is sufficient for all of our needs. Jesus is more than enough. He is all we need. Friends, the disciples were still in training. They would be throughout their lives. We too are in training. We are in training because we are prone to forget. We are prone to forget that Jesus is more than enough, that he's all that we need. This miracle reminded the disciples that God will provide because of his powerful grace. We need to remember this because sometimes we are tempted to forget. God has promised to provide for all of our needs, both as a church and as individual Christians. He will give us our daily bread, providing food and clothing and shelter. He will meet our need for friendship and for fellowship. He will give us the guidance that we seek in faith. He will provide a way for us to serve him when we think that we are inadequate. And when God gives us the opportunity to serve, he will give us all the resources that we need to fulfill our calling. We are not limited by what we have to hand or by what we are able to provide by ourselves, because we are enabled by the power and by the providence of God's. God's provision is abundant. And so listen, friend, here is the lesson today. Jesus is all we need. Are you afraid? His courage is sufficient for you. Are you alone? His presence is sufficient for you. Are you in sin? His grace is sufficient for you. Are you struggling with life, with health, with worries, with cares, with concerns? Listen, his love and his grace and his mercy, his presence is all we need. Are you in need? His abundance is sufficient for you today. Friends, Jesus is more than enough. Let's lean on him. Let's look to him. And let's live for him always. Let's not forget that incredible lesson. Jesus is more than enough. Let's pray. Loving God, we pray that you'd forgive us. That you'd forgive us for the times when we forget. When we forget just who you are, when we forget all that you're able to do, when we forget your grace and your mercy and your love, when we forget your power and your provision, Lord, would you forgive us? Lord, we pray that you'd help us to remember that Jesus is more than enough, that Jesus is all that we need. Would you help us in our need to run to you? Would you help us not to try and on our own and fall and fail? But Lord, would you help us to run to you in every opportunity? Lord, as we think about serving you, Lord, even as the disciples this morning had inadequate resources, so Lord, we may feel that we have inadequate resources. We might feel tired. We might feel we're emotionally drained. We might feel we're too busy. And yet, Lord, you call us to yourself. You call us to serve you. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to stand up to that, that you would help us not to run away, not to be afraid, not to say, well, wait until another day, until we're a little bit better. But, Lord, that you would help us to seek to serve you each and every day in life as we remember that Jesus is more than enough, that we remember he is all that we need. Father God, we thank you that your grace is sufficient. We thank you that your abundance is sufficient. We thank you that your courage is sufficient. We thank you that your presence is sufficient. Lord, we thank you that Jesus is everything. Help us to look to him and cling to him. And no more so, Father God, than as we turn our eyes and our minds in a moment to the Lord's table, and as we think that your grace is sufficient to deal with our sin, we thank you that Jesus is more than enough. So, Lord, allow this word to stay in our minds. If there's anything of man, Lord, I pray that you take it away, but that you would let remain that which is of you. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to mill it over in our minds, that you'd help us to apply it in our lives, and that you would help us to live it out for your glory and for your honor this week. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.